I just want to take a break here and ask a question to all of you listening to this podcast. Have you actually ever thought about starting a podcast yourself? A year ago, roughly, December of 2017, when we decided to start our own podcast and Tatooine Sons became a real thing, we had lots of questions, like how do we record an episode? How do we get our show on Apple Podcasts and Spotify and all the other places people listen to podcasts? And then how do we make money from it? And the answer to every one of these questions that we found over the last year is really simple. It's Anchor. Anchor is a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing your podcast. And best of all, it's 100% free and ridiculously easy to use. And now Anchor can actually match you with some great sponsors too, so you can actually get paid to podcast. And that's one of the things we love. We're getting sponsors reaching out to us about sponsoring our Tatooine Sons podcast has been awesome, but also the ease to getting this out there to all of the other platforms. And so if you've always wanted to start a podcast and make money doing it, go to anchor.fm/start to join me and the diverse community of podcasters already using Anchor. That's anchor.fm/start. We can't wait to hear your podcast.
Hello, podcast listeners. This is BB Nate. Thanks for listening to Tatooine Sons, a Star Wars podcast. It's so awesome to think that people enjoy what we do so much that they financially support us so we can do what we do. If you're not a Patreon supporter, please head on over to patreon.com/TatooineSons and watch our welcome video so you can learn more about how important it is for us to have your support. May the Force be with you.
This is Tatooine Sons, a proud member of the Star Wars Commonwealth Podcast Network. Be sure to listen to the galaxy's greatest Star Wars podcasts, including Talk Star Wars, Tumbling Sabers Podcast, Generation X-Wing, Rogue Squadrons Podcast, Skyhoppers Podcast, The Nerd Room, San Diego Sabres Radio Podcast, Less Than 12 Parsecs Podcast, and Retro Inc. Podcast. Visit StarWarsCommonwealth.com and take your first step into a larger world.
Welcome, Star Wars fans, episode 49 of Tatooine Sons. Kylo Ren is one of the most hated and loved characters in the sequel trilogy, which is why we were surprised that most of the Star Wars fans that we know don't really have a problem with him being redeemed. We'll talk about if that can happen, and if it's possible, how. Plus, we'll give a preview of our special one-year anniversary 50th episode coming next week, and our normal Resistance recap and hot takes. You have too much of your father's heart in you, young Solo. It's time for Tatooine Sons.
The Force is strong in my family.
I am your father.
I am a Jedi, like my father before me.
Welcome, Star Wars fans! This is Tatooine Sons, your weekly look into all things Star Wars. From the unique perspective of a father sharing his love for the amazing space fantasy saga with his two sons. I am BB Nate, and I'm joined first by my brother, Samuel the Hutt.
A cheer to Star Wars fans, thanks for tuning in, and if you're not a Star Wars fan, then you probably don't care what happens to Kylo.
Well, that's probably true.
Yeah. Or even know who Kylo Ren is.
Well, that's not all the way true, because Mom's not really a Star Wars fan, but she really does care about what happens to Kylo Ren.
That's true.
So, but that's because she hangs out with us all the time, and all we do is talk Star Wars, so she hears about it. So
I don't know what she wants from him, though.
As far as Kylo Ren in general? Yeah. Oh, she doesn't like him.
Oh, she doesn't?
She hates him.
Yeah, she does not want to.
And, of course, you can't have Star Wars without the bizarre father figures. So, here's my dad, the Bowtie Jedi guy.
We are in Colorado!
Yes, we are in Colorado.
This is kind of weird for me, because we're in Mom and I's bedroom in Grammy's house where we're staying for the next couple of months till we get things figured out here in Colorado, which was my bedroom growing up. All right. And now we're sitting in it recording this podcast with my two sons, which is really weird. So yesterday was kind of cool for me. I was sitting here working on the show notes actually for this episode, and I was like, where's Sam and Nathan? And I went upstairs because they hadn't been downstairs in like an hour, I think. And I went upstairs and I asked Mom where you guys were. And she's like, they're in the backyard. And I'm like, what are they doing? She's like, they're playing lightsabers. And so I go out on the deck and I'm standing there and I look down and I see you guys in the backyard I grew up in playing where I played Star Wars growing up. Lightsabers, Luke Skywalker, all this stuff. Playing Star Wars in that same backyard. It was actually really, really cool. So we're here.
Yes, we are.
We're finally in Colorado. And this one's a live episode. Just based on the fact that we didn't get the episode recorded in advance, so it went up this morning, so we figured we might as well do it live. But next week's is going to be a live episode, because it's a special week, right? What's next week, Samuel?
It's our one-year anniversary.
One-year anniversary!
And 50th episode.
And, exactly, it's like our golden episode.
Right?
Our 50th anniversary. That didn't take long. It took a year.
50th anniversary? Well, I guess 50th
episode. It's not 50th anniversary. It's our 50th episode, one-year anniversary. So I guess we have a long ways to go before our golden anniversary.
Yeah.
Sorry. Okay. So anyway.
You'd be old.
I will be old. We're going to have lots of special appearances on this episode coming up.
Not too special, but...
No, it's cool. We've got, like, a bunch of our Patreon supporters have sent us messages, video clips, or audio clips, excuse me, of different things that they remember about the episode from the year and why they listen to our show and love that. We've got appearances from a bunch of the different podcasts in the Commonwealth. They're going to be participating in that. The Star Wars Commonwealth Podcast Network, which we're obviously excited to be a part of. We've got a bunch of other listeners, CantoCast, Making Star Wars, Star Wars Explained, Dominic Jones from Star Wars Underworld. They're all going to be making little appearances on the show. So we're really excited about that episode. So make sure you tune in. We're going to go live again next week. It's at 12 noon Eastern time, 9 a.m. Pacific time. If you're in those, is commonly known as flyover country, where the rest of America lives, figure out what time zone you're in. So that's what's going to be going on there. And pretty cool. Yeah. So you're excited to be in Colorado, BB Nate? You're a big you were like not a fan of being in California that much, were you?
Not really, no.
Okay. So what's your favorite thing about being back in Colorado for the last 5 days?
I don't have really a favorite thing.
Okay.
I'm just glad to be back.
Yeah.
That's cool. We're gonna go to Louis Pizza sometime in the next couple weeks.
Which is his favorite place to eat ever.
Absolutely.
I still haven't gotten to go to Freddy's
yet. Freddy's is your favorite. They didn't have that in California.
I mean, I would like to go to Taco Bueno, but they all closed down. So
all the Taco Buenos. Hey, Patrick, thanks for listening live to the show. Hey. There we go. Appreciate it.
But, I mean, I don't think I had necessarily a favorite thing. I mean, I just, as soon as we got back, like, we crossed state lines, I'm like, oh, man, I feel home.
Yeah, I did too.
Instantaneously. I was just like, I mean, we were in, like, the hood of Colorado for like a while, like the not hood? The hood,
the sticks, I think is what you're meaning.
Stick, whatever.
Yeah, like on. Rural.
Not even no. Like we were in like the not so fancy part of town for a little bit, and then even then I was like still felt like home though.
Yeah,
you know, even though that wasn't where I used to live or anything, it still felt right. You know,
right. Well, you never remember. I mean, you were 4 when we moved here, so you obviously. They say all your memories before 5 years old, you don't really have.
Yeah, they're not
just like memories of people talking about memories.
Yeah,
with it, so you don't really remember being here. BB Nate, you were like 5 months old when we moved here.
True.
So the only experience outside of California that you guys remember is living here in Colorado for 12 years, or the RV trip, which is a whole other story.
That's a whole other podcast.
I got a bad feeling about this.
Yeah, absolutely.
That could take up an entire episode. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Touring the country in an RV, though. It's still pretty cool. But anyway, we've got a couple reviews this week. That's pretty awesome. What?
What about Mark Hamill?
Oh my gosh, how could I forget that?
Jeez, I'm like sitting here pointing it out on our show notes, and he's not paying attention.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. So last week we talked about the please don'ts of the original trilogy. Mm-hmm. If we were to like go in a way back machine, a time machine or whatever, and come up with our own please don'ts between episodes 5 and 6. And one of those, Samuel the Hutt, you get to tell again since you talked about it last week.
Boba Fett was Luke's mother.
Which was a big please don't for you and for us, right? We were kind of like that. Please
that would have been really weird.
And then, but what did you say specifically on the podcast that kind of triggered all this?
It was that back, you know, when between Empire Strikes Back and Return of the Jedi, Mark Hamill was a big advocate for that theory. He brought it up to George and was like, hey, I like this idea.
Yeah. And so we tweeted, I mentioned on the podcast, I said, I have to tweet to Mark Hamill and see if that's actually true. Never fully expecting him to even interact with our tweet.
Right.
Because, I mean, he gets like probably 100,000 people tweet to him every day.
Oh, yeah.
In some way, shape, or form. So we tweeted this out, and we went to bed that night, and the next morning we woke up to pack the house so we could leave. Mm-hmm. And my Twitter was like going crazy, and I looked down at it, and Mark Hamill had actually replied to our tweet. And he basically said he went to George Lucas and suggested that the only kind of reveal that could be twist. Bigger than, plot twist that could be bigger than the I am your father moment of episode 5 is if Boba Fett was his mom. And he tried to get George to go down that path, and he's like, by the way, or spoiler alert or something like that, George Lucas didn't buy into that at all. Didn't like that at all.
Right.
So that was kind of cool. So this week has been a lot of fun for us because we've had there's been probably 24 articles on different sites talking about that tweet and embedding us on there. So it's been a fun week for that. Yesterday was a little bit disconcerting.
You want the bad news or the really bad news?
Yeah. The bad news is I found an article referencing us yesterday that I hadn't expected to find on mirror.co.uk. And so I started reading it, and I'm like, that's a co.uk address. Please, please don't. No. Oh, no. And then the really bad news was that they link to the article from express.co.uk, which is the one we make fun of all the time for bad news. So I'm like, oh, now, great. Our credibility is shot as far as Star
Soon
Wars.
Soon there's going to be a Mike Zero video.
Right. I'm waiting for Mike Zero to do the video about it. You know,
Mark Hamill
fundamentally disagrees with everything George Lucas wanted to do in Return of the Jedi. So, yeah.
Or something crazy like that.
Exactly. So that was pretty much fun. So back on track here. We've got a couple reviews I'm pretty excited about because we haven't had a ton of reviews over the past couple of months. But we've got two that came in last week on the 19th and the 20th. So first one was a 5-star review from A.E. Welling. Pretty cool. Star Wars is about family. It's a pretty short one. And these three say and show just how. They cover it all and have fun through it all. Pretty cool. Thank you so much, A.E. Welling, for that amazing review. And then we have Luz Filia.
You probably just like...
I hope not, because I hate when people pronounce people's names wrong. Luzfilia. So I think it pretty much is, if I pronounce it phonetically, that's what it is. And the title with 5 stars was A Podcast Awakening.
Ooh,
yes. Ooh. The podcast has quickly become one of my favorites. Well, thank you.
Aww.
That's awesome. I appreciate the positivity, the energy, the suitable for all ages language, and the interplay between father and son. So thank you very much, A.E.N. Luz. Lose. Anyway. Thank you for that. Okay, so last week's podcast poll of the week was a lot of fun. We asked you after our... we shared our please don'ts from episode 5 and 6. Mm-hmm. We did get a little bit of the please don'ts going from episode 9, going into episode 9 that you guys thought. Well, yours was the Death Star 3.
I don't want another Death Star.
Yeah, Death Star 3. What was yours again last week? Do you remember? I don't even remember what mine is.
Mine was.
Mine was about the New Jedi Order. No New Jedi Order. Don't want Rey establishing a New Jedi Order. And then you can't even remember what Sam, but BB-8 says. Because I think I sprung that on you guys at the last minute. But our last week's podcast poll was, what's your biggest please don't going into episode 9? We'll go into that next.
Are you brainless? I never asked that question until after I've done it.
What?
No!
Okay, so we have 4 different choices, as usual, on our podcast poll of the week. We had Raylo as a please don't, Bendemption, which I spelled wrong, by the way. On the Twitter poll, it was Bendemption. I don't know if that played into the votes at all, but anyway. Time travel, and anything other with comment below, which Samuel Hutt, was lobbying for.
I don't want Death Star 4.
Right, exactly.
I don't want Death Star 4.
Yeah, so our votes, let's talk about the votes. We had about almost 1,200 votes last week. It was a good poll for us with that. We had 6% said Bendemption. Are you guys a little surprised by that small amount of people for Bendemption?
That's actually pretty surprising, yeah.
You're not surprised, though. You think people like that idea?
I mean,
I don't think that people really like that idea. I mean, I don't like that idea, and I think that was my please don't. I think that people, some people are just like, well, out of those choices, some of the other ones I would like less than.
I was gonna say there's probably other things that they want to not happen.
Yeah, when you put it in the context of other choices, that one was the least distasteful to them with it. So okay, so 6% said Bendemption. 12% gave other comments, which we'll go through a couple of those in a minute. 33% said Raylo. Do you guys think that that's?
Yeah, that's
pretty warranted. Pretty accurate for people.
Yeah, I don't disagree with the number.
Okay, and then the last one is time travel. Almost 50%, 49% are against any kind of time travel in the Star Wars universe. What do you guys think about that? Especially with World Between Worlds being such a prevalent theme in the end of final season of Rebels.
I mean, it brought back Ahsoka. Like,
it did. Which everybody loves Ahsoka.
Right. So. I don't know. I feel like it's a slippery slope because then you start getting into, like, Doctor Who or
even Star Trek
kind of weird realms. And I don't think we want that because, like, I don't want someone to be able to, like, Rey, for instance, to just head into the World Between Worlds, go back and, like, stop Anakin from killing Windu or something like that. You know, I don't want her to, like, literally retcon the Star Wars universe.
Right, start rebooting.
Or go back and make her parents stay or something.
Or something
like that.
Yeah, I mean, I can understand why they don't like the idea of time travel. I thought it was awesome in Rebels for the way they used it, but I feel like if it becomes too, it could become a crutch.
I really feel like they handled it really well in Rebels for the fact that Ezra did want to save Kanan, and he had the ability to. Mm. He really did. I was thinking it over after the episode. I'm like, he could have done this.
Yeah. But he didn't.
But he didn't. Mm. And I feel like that was kind of Dave Filoni saying that if they put in time travel, they...
You have to use time travel responsibly.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. If you're going to insert it in. And while they did bring back Ahsoka, we know that, he didn't go back and save Kanan, which he was conflicted with, like you're saying, mm-hmm. BB Nate. And then they destroyed that portal at the end of season 4 of Rebels, which there's some leaks and some photos that people think that maybe showing it in episode 9, but we haven't found that out yet. Mm-hmm. I don't think we're going to see. Maybe we find the ruins of that portal in episode 9, mm-hmm. but I don't think that we go down the time travel path in episode 9. All right, so we got a couple comments. We always read at least 3 tweets from you guys. So, Evie Nate, yours I think is first.
Okay. We have David Weiser.
Weiser.
Okay. @Weiser_David.
Yeah, that's his Twitter. Follow David. He's awesome. He always interacts with our tweets and has really good insight. So follow him.
And his comment is short and sweet. It is retcon Rey's parentage.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Go back. JJ, changing the past. So the idea behind this is Rian Johnson basically set it up to where anybody can have access to the Force. The Force isn't restricted to some royal lineage of Skywalkers or Kenobis or Palpatines. Right. Rey's a nobody. She has the Force. Right. Broom Boy is a nobody. He has the Force. Anybody can have access to the Force. And the worry is that JJ, because there's this assumption that JJ had this big plan for Rey's parents that's different than Ryan's, mm-hmm. that he's going to go back and retcon it and make her something else.
I don't want him to retcon it, but I don't think he will or has to, because it was expressed multiple times that he, JJ and Rian were really close when Rian was writing the script for The Last Jedi. JJ was there and was, you know, giving his insights and was completely up to date on all of it. So I don't think that Rian did something that JJ doesn't like. So I don't think that JJ has to go back and retcon Rey's parents.
But I don't think that Rian Johnson is helping JJ with this movie.
Well, no, I'm pretty sure that the news reports and the conversations that we've heard from things is that JJ wrote Force Awakens, and basically they had mapped out a storyline throughout all three of the movies, from what I'm reading. Even last week, and kind of in an unrelated but similar type story, one of the guys from the creative team for Lucasfilm tweeted out a photo of sort of like a samurai, or a sketch, excuse me, of a samurai looking Luke Skywalker from The Last Jedi. And he explained that in 2013, when they were writing The Force Awakens, that they knew that Luke would be on Octu because he had given up on everything. He was separating himself from the Force. Everything that Ryan did in The Last Jedi was mapped out, as far as Luke Skywalker goes, before J.J. Abrams started making The Force Awakens. Mm-hmm. So, if they're mapping that out, I think they mapped out race parentage and things like that. So JJ makes this movie, and then JJ and Ryan work together on what the plot was going to be, basically through The Last Jedi. And then JJ went hands off and let Ryan make his movie. And I think that now they probably, Ryan and JJ got together again, said, this is where things are. And then they talked about the, you know, where things are and how they're going forward. And now JJ's making his final movie. But I do not believe that this is like three different stories that are trying to be meshed together.
Right.
I think that Disney and Lucasfilm Story Group and the directors, JJ, Kathleen Kennedy, Ryan, all of them had a direction, which is why Colin Trevorrow was let go. Because Colin did not want to go down the path that they had mapped out for
was
this.
That confirmed?
Yeah, they didn't like his story, is what I understand.
Oh, wow.
They did not like the way that Colin Trevorrow was mapping out his story, and so they let him go from episode 9 because of that. So JJ gets to come back in and finish off the story. I think that's what's going on.
Okay.
The next one, Gen X-Wing Podcast. This is fun. These guys are part of the Star Wars Commonwealth Podcast Network, so there are brothers in arms on this. And they went and they engaged with that please don't poll question for episode 9, and they engaged on Reylo, and it's hilarious because within 24 hours, I was getting messages directly from them where they're like, what was I thinking engaging on this podcast poll with you guys? I have been getting beat down by Reylos for the last 24 hours. Like, people were just hating on them and everything else because they're not
fans. You're doing something right.
Absolutely. You can have it. I love that, though, because people feel comfortable talking about, speculating on our podcast poll and our tweets. You know,
yeah.
We've had a lot of fun with that. We try to keep it pretty clean and pretty, positive, but people are able to disagree on our tweets. So Gen X Wing podcast at Gen X Wing. This is their response. They said, this is a tough one. Time travel will break a lot of rules of Star Wars, but Reylo will break my spirit and feed into the fanfic fanatics. Not all male-female characters have to struggle with love. I would like Star Wars movies to pass the Bechdel test more convincingly. Oh, so talk about that. I'm going to look up the Bechdel test.
You don't even know what that is?
I was going to look it up and I forgot. So what do you guys think about what they said?
Yeah, I don't understand how time travel will break rules of Star Wars. Because, I mean, it was put in Star Wars. But I understand how it could overcomplicate things. Yeah, but I totally agree. You don't always have to have a love interest in a movie. I mean, I feel like it's just so overdone. Like, with movies, like, over time. I mean, every movie has some sort of love interest. And it kind of gets old. Rebels, however, though. Oh, well, no, it didn't.
No, Rebels did.
It did. It had between Kanan and Hera.
Kanan and Hera, yeah.
I guess it didn't have one between the main characters of Ezra. You know, Ezra, he didn't have anything like that. But it still did have one.
Okay.
I just feel like having one with the main characters is just, it's like overdone and just needs to kind of like.
So you're hoping our whole Reylo episode and my whole Reylo thread really doesn't happen.
I'd be fine either way.
Okay.
But it has to be either the way that we put it out.
You don't just want, hey, we love each other and let's go have a baby.
No, I don't want that. I want it to be Rey's love redeems Kylo, or there's no love interest at all.
Okay. What do you think about this whole thing, BB Nate? As far as like Reylo time travel, all that, what Gen X Wing said?
With the time travel, you said you didn't really know how it could break rules in Star Wars.
Yeah, I mean, it was already put in
Star Wars. I think he thinks that if Rey goes through time travel, she may not be mature enough to use it the correct way and then break some rules and then save some people that she shouldn't have saved or change some spots or change some timelines and that just break the rules and the continuity of Star Wars would go all over the place. And
that's
so
fair.
I agree with that.
The Reylo part of it, I don't want to see it, but I really don't think that JJ would go down that path. with the way that Ryan set up this Last Jedi movie, and then you saying that he was working with him, and they set out a whole timeline for the movies, I feel like he won't go with the whole Reylo. I just don't think that that's the way it's going to go.
Okay. So now, the Bechdel test, actually, I've heard of this. Now, I just didn't know how it was described with the Bechdel test. The Bechdel test is a measure of the representation of women in fiction. It asks whether a work features at least two women who talk to each other about something other than a man. The requirement that the two women must be named is sometimes added. So there's this idea that the only thing with women is they have to have a love interest. And they have to be talking about their love interests.
And that has been a common theme in movies.
So can Rey exist in the Star Wars story and be a main character without falling in love? Is the basic idea.
She should. But, I mean, I guess Star Wars has already passed that. I mean,
with who?
With Rey and Leia. They talked, right?
No, Leia falls in love with Han.
Yeah, but they didn't. Oh, she did talk to him about Han, didn't she?
Yeah, we'll just have to figure it out. Yeah. All right, cool. Well, right. And then the last one. Sam. It's
from Scott Looney at a Scott Mess, I'm guessing.
Scott Mess, like a hot mess.
Oh, I get it. Now.
I get it. Scott with two T's, by the way. TT.
Right. He says, I think there's a way to do something like time travel in the spirit of Star Wars. Quote, through the Force, things you will see, other places, the future, the past, old friends long gone.
You're not going to try to do Yoda?
You already did Yoda.
No, like a Yoda. Should I try to do Yoda?
Oh. Mm.
Through the Force, things you will see, other places, the future, the past, old friends long gone.
Yeah, you're not.
I'm not very good. It almost sounds like Kermit the Frog with a rasp.
Yeah, he like Kermit who's been smoking a little.
But I can do a great Kermit the Frog. Yeah. Mm. Yeah. So anyway,
back to the subject.
So do you think that they could find a way through the Force to make time travel work?
I feel like again, it could just be it's a slippery slope. I feel like it could work or it can't. All right. I don't want to be in JJ's shoes right now. Let's just be honest.
JJ is facing a lot of hard decisions right now.
He's already made all the hard decisions. Now he's just got to execute. You know, when they finishes in February or March.
Oh, really?
Of 2019. So that was fast. Yeah, because they got to get it all ready for the trailers and stuff for celebrations.
Well, yeah.
Anyway. Which we're gonna see,
and we're gonna be at the red carpet premiere, though.
Well, that's true. We haven't been invited yet, but we're gonna keep lobbying for it.
We're just gonna mug everyone at Lucasfilm.
Yeah, exactly. Mugging meaning sending them mugs,
right?
Make Travis Cannon mugs. So anyway,
we're not actually gonna like back them up into a corner in a dark alley and like beat them up or anything.
No.
Okay. Cool. All right. So all right. Why don't we move on? Then? Yeah. Sam, nice. I think it's you're the next segment. So.
Oh, that I am. So, spoiler alert, we're doing the Resistance recap, but, you know, if you haven't seen last week's episode of the Resistance...
Hold on. It's a big-time spoiler here.
Oh, yeah, big-time spoiler. Just, like...
Give us 10 minutes.
Yeah. Like, just pause, skip forward a few minutes.
10 minutes or so.
10 minutes. So. Mm-hmm. All right. But we kind of knew where this was going, but seeing Sonara betray Kaz and the Colossus wasn't a ton of fun to watch, especially after we see Kaz and Tam naively trusting her. What's this mean for the Colossus and our heroes? We'll discuss it all on this week's Resistance Recap.
We have a mission for you.
But I was going into Tosche Station to pick up some power converters.
How do we blow it up? There's always a way to do that.
Droid, please.
Light it up.
All right, so this week's episode of Resistance was called Sonara's Score.
Score.
And the synopsis, I guess, goes as follows. Captain Doza enlists Yeager's help in repairing the defenses of the Colossus. Of course, Kaz and Tam are the ones who will actually do work. Unfortunately, the parts needed for the repairs are extremely difficult to find. That's,
What were you...
Oh, wow, I'm, like, skipping, like, three lines there. That's when Kaz remembers Sonara, who's been working as a scavenger on the Colossus for several weeks now. She gets Kaz and Tam the parts, but begins to think about what these parts could be actually used for. Suspecting it's the targeting systems for the Colossus, Sonara tells the pirate, Cragen Gore, that the window of opportunity has opened and that she will let them know when the aces are on patrol, leaving the rig completely defenseless. She does. All Mustafar breaks out, and bad things happen. Kaz and Yeager end up saving the day, but not before Captain Dozda begins to reconsider allowing the First Order to protect the Colossus. All right. What's hot, what's not, and what's next?
So yeah, that's our new format for this topic. So what's hot, what's not, what's next?
Yeah. So what did you like about this episode? What's hot?
BB Nate, what did you like about this episode?
It was way more intense than any of the other ones.
That's true.
They really tried to put the action into the Star Wars, the wars in Star Wars. I feel like that Sonara and Tam are getting to be friends.
Yeah.
But I don't want them to go down the cheesy cliche path that Tam redeems Sonara and Sonara gives up the pirates and all that stuff. I don't want that to happen.
But that's what it looks like is going to happen.
Yeah, and
yeah, okay.
I feel like, though, that that's where they're going to go with it. It's a Disney Channel show.
We've talked about that before.
Right. So, you know, it's pretty much going to be a little bit more rose-colored, you know, look through rose-colored glasses. So she's probably going to be redeemed. In a way, and this whole episode's full of redemption. but I feel like that's what's going to happen. They wouldn't introduce her otherwise. I feel like the way they've been introducing the character and building her up is just setting it up for her to be, brought to the good, to become a good guy and desert the pirates. I just feel like that's where they're going to go with it.
I feel like this next episode is going to be totally not focusing on Sonara.
No, so let's talk about this episode, though.
Yeah.
So with Sonara's score, something that I really liked about it was kind of seeing the conflict that Captain Dozda was going through. At the beginning, if you remember, you know, from what you did, you summed it up pretty well with the synopsis there. Captain Dozda needs Yeager and Tam and Kaz to fix the targeting system, so he's trying to protect them from... protect the Colossus from the pirates. Mm-hmm. And so what we see with Captain Dozda is the reason that he's got this relationship with the First Order. And that's what this whole thing is about. The First Order is offering protection to the Colossus. And he doesn't want to accept their offer of protection. So he's wanting the aces to be able to protect the Colossus. And the defense systems on the Colossus, the targeting systems on the guns and things like that to work. So that he doesn't have to. The problem is, he's got the deck stacked against him. Because the pirates are in league with the First Order. It's extortion that's actually going on here by the First Order. And so they're being set up to allow the First Order to come in.
Right.
And that's what happens throughout this whole thing. So it shows to me Captain Dozda is more than just a friend of the First Order. He's being very pragmatic. He's trying to just simply protect the Colossus, protect the aces, protect the people that work on that. And he'll do whatever he has to do to protect them.
Yeah.
I feel like we talked about this last week and how I really kind of want to see Kaz become an ace because that's what he's been wanting to do.
I want to see Kaz freaking fly a ship. I mean, I know he saw one last week, but like on the Colossus. But anyway,
like an ace.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I feel like they're going to go to the reaction of Kaz being an ace, Sonara taking his place for a mechanic. And Kaz being kind of undercover, being closer to Captain Dozda after he figures out that the Forced Order is now working with Dozda for the Colossus.
Interesting. What did you like about this episode?
I liked how Kaz showed he wasn't as awkward as he usually is in the episodes, and helpless. He actually showed some, I don't know about backbone, I don't think that's the right word, but he stood up for himself. You know, there was some...
Yeah, at the end.
Serious pirates who were giving him trouble, and he stood up and, defended himself and actually fixed it. And it felt like better. It was kind of annoying to see him just, like, bumbling about lately in the past few episodes. He's actually, showing some initiative.
Yeah, and that's one of the... That's... If I were to go down my what's not... the thing I didn't like about this episode, it was that sequence there after the pirates start to attack before Kaz actually, works things out and fixes the targeting system and all that. There's this moment where I was literally sitting there in the hotel room where we were watching this on really bad Wi-Fi, by the way, having a hard time watching it. But anyway, we're watching it and I'm like, I was literally frustrated and I was saying something then. I'm like, I don't like Kaz being sort of this bumbling fool that he was a lot of the time in that episode until the end. He's a New Republic pilot.
Yeah.
He's been through training. He's a soldier, a pilot. He's part of the military. He's not a wimp and he shouldn't be a wimp. And I was getting frustrated because they seem to be going down that path a little bit too easily. Like he's almost, dare I say it,
bad feeling about this.
I feel very Jar Jar-esque at times. You know, he's making mistakes and they end up working things out, kind of like in the Battle of Naboo with Jar Jar. It sort of feels like that sometimes with Kaz. And I don't like that because I like the character of Kaz. I like who this character can become. But I was getting really frustrated that they were just going to continue to go down this. Oh, he's going to be a complete moron, but he's going to end up saving the day. And then all of a sudden, he kind of grew a backbone, like you were saying, Samuel, and he moved things forward. So I didn't like that. I liked the result of it. What did you not like about this episode? You kind of alluded to it maybe with the Sonara-Tam relationship.
I didn't mind that, per se. I did really mind the betrayal from Sonara to Kaz and Tam. And I know most people would say that, but I just didn't like it because Kaz and Tam are trying to be friends with this new person, and this person's behind their back, being a pirate, and then a pirate almost alludes to her being a pirate herself.
Gives herself away.
Then Tam says, hey, thank you for saving my life, but she's really making it worse, so.
Yeah. What I didn't like, I mean, I can't think of necessarily something specific. If I had to choose something, it's, we didn't get to see any, like space battles or, dogfighting or ships. I mean, we saw the aces fly away, but that's it. Like, I wanted to see more of that. That's why we're kind of watching this show. It's to see the pilots and the ships and things like that. And we haven't seen a lot of that.
Right.
I want to see that again. I mean, we got it like the first episode and that's it, you know? So that's probably what I didn't like.
Okay.
We don't have enough of the aces and the ships and stuff. But, all right, so what do y'all think is next? What do you think is happening next in the story? Nate?
Well, like, next episode or next
just, like, where the story's going from here. Not necessarily the next episode. We'll get to that in a minute.
Well, you're talking about how you don't like the direction that they may be pulling Kaz in.
Well, I didn't like it. It seemed like he was a bumbling fool. I liked the way that they ended this episode with him.
I really do feel like, I do agree, he is kind of a bumbling fool sometimes, especially when, like, intense moments happens with the, monkey lizards on that one episode.
Right. And,
but the thing is he was trained mainly to be a pilot, not a soldier on the ground, like Han Solo, but he was kicked out of the Imperial Academy and was trained to be on the ground. And I don't really think that TIE fighter pilots have much training to be a stormtrooper other than, hey, you gotta fly.
Right, so you're saying that as a Republic pilot, he doesn't have the ability to fight on the ground and hand-to-hand combat and,
that kind of thing. No, he doesn't have that much training.
So you think that do you think that we're gonna see more of that on the rig, or do you think we're gonna get him in a pilot seat and actually see what he's all about, having him fly an X-Wing?
I'm hoping that this episode, this next one is a Yeager Kaz type of episode where Yeager's kind of being a father, more of a father figure to Kaz, and then Yeager, we do see, he may be flying his own ship. Does Yeager in this next episode?
We don't know any yet.
Well, if he does, then I think that Yeager is going to find out that Kaz is a really good flyer and just give Kaz his great ship that everybody has been talking about.
What about you, Dad?
Well, I'm trying to think of, you know, I mean, I'm excited. We'll talk about the Yeager episode coming up in a second. But we were looking, as I was doing the show notes yesterday, I mentioned this to you two. We've only got three more episodes before the winter finale of Resistance. And they usually do big cliffhangers at the end of the finale, and then we don't get the show back if we follow the same format as Rebels. We don't get the show back till February or March, maybe?
Yeah, it's a long
hiatus. Maybe we'll see the first episode of the...
No, I think we get the... We'll see. Okay. But it's just, I think it's February that it comes back if it follows the same pattern that it's followed with Rebels. So they usually leave you, like, they build up and they leave you with a heck of a cliffhanger at the winter finale. And so I'm expecting we're going to see something major happening between the First Order, Kaz, Yeager, Doza, and... The Resistance. And so I think that we're going to have a big revelation. I think Sonara is going to filter into this. We're going to get Kaz eventually off of the rig, off the Colossus, and into an X-Wing before the end of this season. And people are going to start to wonder what this guy's really all about on the Colossus. Mm-hmm. Because I feel like that's where they have to go to get this show to go where it's going.
Maybe at the end of the series, the First Order finds out about
the
Kaz.
The winter season?
Yeah, okay. The end of this part of the season. Maybe the First Order finds out Kaz may be a spy and captures him, and Tam, Sonara, Niku, and Yeager have to go.
All the aces.
Or all the aces and everybody else in Team Fireball has to go rescue him. But that's the cliffhanger of Kaz being captured.
That'd be interesting.
I think that, you know, based on where this series is going, I think that eventually Sonara's going to become a good guy. Probably become somewhere on Team Firewall. I think Kaz is actually, you know, going to become a force to be reckoned with. I think by the cliffhanger, maybe on right at the cliffhanger, is something to do with Kylo.
Yeah, they've already introduced his character, at least by name.
We know of him. We've seen his shuttle.
Yeah.
So maybe we see Kylo and that has something to filter in. I think Yeager is going to stop. You know how he said that, hey, I want nothing to do with your spy business. You know?
Right.
I think he's going to forget that, and I think he's going to start trying to help Kaz.
Okay.
You know, teaching him how to fight. How to act as a spy. How to do things like that. So, but let's talk about next week's episode.
Okay,
and that is called the Platform Classic. Sorry, awesome. And its description goes: an upcoming race reunites Yeager with his estranged brother Marcus, who needs to win to pay off his debt to a criminal organization. Wow, I had a really
Why don't you try that again?
Yeah, let's just retry that.
Yeah.
All right, the Platform Classic. It says, an upcoming race reunites Yeager with his estranged brother Marcus, who needs to win to pay off his debt to a criminal organization.
And now, we watched this clip that we're going to play here in a second. We watched it the other day.
No, we didn't.
Oh, we didn't? You guys didn't watch it?
Nope.
No.
I did. Didn't gather from it that was Yeager's brother. So it'll be interesting to see how that plays out.
Yeager! Thank you for coming so quickly.
What do you need this time, Doza? More last-minute repairs?
Well, I know I've been calling on you quite often of late, old friend, but these are desperate times.
What is it? Pirates? Saboteurs?
The Platform Classic.
What about it?
The Classic is a chance to bring much-needed money to our economy. The prize is 100,000 credits. The aces will be in it, of course, but this time... I wanted to make it bigger than ever. So I'm calling on you, Yeager. The best of the best.
Sorry. My racing days are long over.
I knew you'd say that. But I also know you could never resist competing with a legend.
It's been a long time.
I'm sure I don't have to introduce famous sky racer Marcus Speedstar. 3-time winner of the 5 Sabers.
Whoa, Marcus Speedstar?
I can't believe it.
Hard to believe it's been almost 10 years, Jarek.
Wait, you know Marcus Speedstar?
right. Okay, then.
Interesting. Yeah, no, that was all new to me.
So it's interesting because you've got this idea that Marcus is, we know from the synopsis, that it's his estranged brother. So I wonder where that's going to go with this.
Yeah.
What do you think?
I think that, like, Jarek is going to get really, like, not angry, but competitive against his brother. I feel like that's going to play into from his childhood. Mm. Maybe, who's the older one, I wonder?
Well, I think I'm almost certain that Yeager is the older one.
Yeah.
Easy. I think we're going to get some backstory on Yeager's family, obviously, because of his brother, but I'm thinking more along the lines of Yeager's daughter and wife. Maybe we find out more about his life on Batuu. It was interesting. His name's Marcus Speedstar. I'm guessing that's like a stage name.
I don't know.
Yeah. Because it's not Yeager.
And you get the feeling that Doza and Tam and Kaz have no idea that they're related.
Right.
And for Captain Doza not to know that, I think that that's important. So there's this separation. Not only are they estranged, but nobody knows that Yeager's related to this guy.
Right.
And so that's going to play into the storyline, too. People finding out that his brother is this great racer. That
kind of thing. He said that he won the Five Sabers. That sounds vaguely familiar.
Five Sabers is the race in Bloodlines.
That's what I was thinking.
Exactly. That Han Solo is coaching people to run.
Oh.
In that. And that's like the biggest race. That's like the ultimate race. Which, like, please, can we get a Han Solo appearance? Please give me a Han Solo appearance in this. So.
That's not how the Force works.
I'd like a dream Yeager backstory with a Han Solo appearance.
Oh, man. Jeez, that'd be the best episode ever for me. So, anyway. Cool. Right. So, we'll be looking forward to checking out that episode on Sunday night, tomorrow night.
Tomorrow?
Yeah, it's already Saturday. Nice. Hard to believe, isn't it?
But that means it's this part of the season's almost over.
I know, we got just a few more weeks. So, all right, let's move on to the next topic. Oscar Isaac has weighed in on what it's like filming the Star Wars saga film without Carrie Fisher. There's another crazy rumor about somebody showing up in Episode 9 that you have got to hear. Hold on.
I got a bad feeling about this.
Jar Jar.
And apparently Ben Solo comes by his shirtless buffness genetically.
Oh, I've heard
it's
this.
It's time for hot takes.
This is where the fun begins.
Well, you want the bad news or the really bad news?
Impressive. Every word in that sentence was wrong.
All right, so Oscar Isaac says new Star Wars honors Carrie Fisher in a, quote, really beautiful way. In an article on mentalfloss.com, which, by the way, we were mentioned in an article on mentalfloss.com this past week. Anyway. Mental Floss, which I love the idea because I can imagine somebody with floss in their skull between ears.
No, I can feel it in my head.
Exactly. It's kind of nice. So Isaac said, the story deals with that quite a bit. Isaac told the Daily Beast about Fisher's passing, is what he said. And the movie deals with this. It's a strange thing to be on the set and to be speaking of Leia and having Carrie not be around. Mm. There's definitely some pain in that, he said. He also made sure to add that the movie deals with the amazing character that Carrie created in a really beautiful way. Samuel LaHutt, what do you think about what Oscar Isaac had to say about
that's
Carrie Fisher?
Really encouraging, because that's not the first we've heard of it. I know someone else.
Billy Lord talked about it last week.
Yeah, we talked about that.
So having multiple people state that the way they're handling the character and Carrie Fisher in this movie, and how they're dealing with it in a good way is really encouraging to me, because I was really worried about how they were going to pull that off, especially when we heard that they were going to use old footage. That immediately was kind of put me off, because there's not a lot of room. You know, it's already been filmed for a specific purpose in a different movie. How are you going to recycle that and put it into a new film and use it in the right way? So hearing from multiple people that they're doing it in a beautiful way is really encouraging to me.
Interesting. Okay. Sam, BB Nate, what do you think?
Like Sam said, it's really encouraging. I was really wondering how they're going to deal with using past footage from Force Awakens and Last Jedi to make a movie with Carrie Fisher in it. It's very difficult because nobody has ever really done that before. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this is the first.
I don't know if it... I mean, I guess they tried to do it a little bit with Fast and the Furious 7 with Paul Walker because he had died. Mm. But they kind of resurrected some footage and things like that with him in it. But this is going to be definitely an interesting thing. All right, couple questions. Do you think that we hear Billy Lord saying these things and Oscar Isaac saying these things because that's their job and they're in the movie and they have to promote the movie? Or do you think that if they didn't have anything good to say that they'd follow Mama's rule and not say anything at all?
No. I feel like that them saying this has some weight to it. Billy Lord is Carrie's daughter.
Hmm.
I don't think she's doing that to promote the movie. I think that she genuinely believes that they're doing it in the right way. Poe, I mean, Oscar Isaac said that they had grown really close on the set, and they were, you know, they were good friends. I don't think he says that lightly. I think that there's some real weight behind what they're saying.
Awesome. What about you, BB Nate?
Well, if they probably were told to do it, I feel like they would have done it on a little tweet on Twitter. Oh, it was great to have Carrie Fisher back in the movie.
Mm.
Not officially say it and people make articles about it and then just saying all this nice stuff about it.
Mm.
Kind of, I just feel like that would
be... You would have think that they would have just said it because they had to.
Yeah. Well, then the next question that I don't think anybody really wants to talk about right now is whether or not you think they're going to kill the character of Princess Leia in Episode 9. I'm going to start with you, BB Nate. What do you think?
I feel like they kind of have to.
Hmm.
Because first of all, I think it would be a nice end to everything. Luke, Han, and Leia have died. Three main characters. It would be sad. Those are the few characters we grew up with Star Wars. But that it would be an amazing way to end off the Skywalker saga. We see Han die, who was in the first one of the first people for the Skywalker saga. We see Luke, and then we see Leia. It would be a great way to end it off for many reasons.
What do you think, Samuel?
I think that if they kill her off, they have to do it in a specific way. And I kind of want to save that for our next, our main topic.
Okay.
But I just feel like it's really limited with what they've got to work with. So I feel like they kind of have to kill her off in a way. Mainly, I believe, to redeem Ben. And we'll go into that in our main topic. But yeah, I feel like it's kind of one of the best ways to go.
Yeah, I've heard a lot of podcasts over the... You know, driving from California to Colorado last weekend... we got to listen to a lot of Star Wars podcasts, and this was a topic that several of them had brought up. Resistance Broadcast talked about it. A couple others, I can't remember. And they seem to be a consensus idea that they're going to let Leia live beyond Episode 9. I just don't know how they're going to do it.
Yeah.
But then again, I don't know how you kill her off screen, because they can't kill her on screen because they can't film those scenes. So you've got to find that balance. I think it's going to be...
Again, I don't want to be in JJ's shoes.
Yeah, that's a tough situation to deal with. Okay, next part. Star Wars Episode 9 rumor teases the return of a Rebels character. And a report that should be filed away in the highly unlikely to happen category. A report from the infamous express.co.uk. Sorry about that. I know Patrick, who's listening to us live right now, has a disdain for them as much as we do. So it claims that Ezra... The only reason we're talking about this is because it's got a Rebels connection, and I think it's an interesting idea. Claims that Ezra Bridger could be appearing in Episode 9. The report said that Maz Kanata will be sharing her ship with a group of Resistance fighters as they engage in combat with the First Order. Next to her is allegedly a man who looks close to Luke Skywalker's age, with long hair, blue eyes, and what could be an unignited lightsaber in his hands. From here, it's been theorized that this character might be none other than the famed Rebels lead, Ezra Bridger. BB Nate, what do you think about the idea of Ezra show? Is it possible that Ezra... Okay, this is an express.co.uk rumor, so we're going to file, like it says, file out away in a probably not going to happen category. But as a concept, do you think that they could bring Ezra Bridger back, and if they could, should they?
They definitely can. He may be traveling around the unknown regions, just doing his own thing, and I don't think that they should. And I just, it would be kind of a dumb decision on JJ's part, because JJ doesn't do Rebels, and yes, Rebels is great, but maybe throw him into the back of that ship and just people see him and then give him a little nod to him, but not have him to be a character that they talk about and that he saves the whole Jedi and then, like, dads don't would be and state a new Jedi Order and all that type of stuff. I feel like they don't do that.
You don't, you'd think that it would be a mistake to bring him in as sort of a side character. It'd be distracting. Yeah. That kind of thing. Okay.
Yeah, I was gonna say, it just feels wrong, and I feel like it would kind of overshadow Rey's story. I mean, this is Rey's story,
which we talked about, like in the Cassian Andor series, bringing Ahsoka in would overshadow Cassian. You feel like bringing Ezra into this would overshadow.
Yeah, it doesn't feel right bringing in another Jedi who relatively seems kind of vague compared to Luke, Rey, Kyle. I mean, it would feel weird throwing in Ezra. Yeah. You know? It just doesn't feel like it'd fit.
Plus, I think that there'd be a challenge with all those fans that are just movie fans, Star Wars movie fans, that haven't watched Rebels like us, all of a sudden being introduced to this character that everybody's freaking out about. It's different in Episode 9 if they bring in Ezra than it is in Solo with Maul showing up at the very end and everybody that didn't know Maul was still alive wondering what the heck's going on with that. This is a bigger deal because this is a whole character nobody even knows who they are, and I think it would be a mistake.
And if you're watching Rebels and you haven't seen Clone Wars and you find out that Maul is still alive, or you're Ahsoka, like us, you're willing to watch Clone Wars.
Yeah, I mean that's
why people that just watch the movies,
right? Yeah, it would be a challenge for them. So okay. Not so sure about this next one, but we're gonna go down that path. Okay, so that's where Ben Solo came from. Star Wars issue 57 by Kieran Gillen, Angel Unzueta, Guru FX, don't know who that is, and Clayton Cowles is now available for purchase, which is part of the Star Wars main line of comics. The story takes place in between the events of A New Hope and The Empire Strikes Back, finding Leia, Luke, Skywalker and Han Solo separated from the Alliance after a rather tough battle with the Empire. They're on the run and are stranded on a private moon called Hubin, where they are hidden from the Empire. However, things start to get kind of... Exactly. However, things start to get kind of weird when Solo goes off to find an adult beverage and learns that the moon doesn't believe in money. Okay? Han Solo is put to work to earn meals and adult beverages. So you work for, like, you want to buy a drink, they say go out back and do this, or go into the kitchen and clean dishes, or whatever. So,
like in Force Awakens, that they'll trade work for transportation to the Outer Rim.
Kind of, yeah. So he goes back out in the back to chop some wood. When Leia finds him, he's shirtless, and wishing Chewbacca was around to help. Leia blushes. She says, "Oh," in the comic. It's kind of funny. And is taken aback from what she sees. It's honestly not that big of a deal, but it's the way that the characters are illustrated that makes things a little awkward for the readers, as well as Leia, who realizes that Han Solo might be a lot more than a space rebel jerk. All right, what do you think, Samuel the Hutt?
I saw this on Facebook, and I'm like, oh, no, they went, why? Why did they need to put that in the comic?
That funny, he's got his foot up on the logs, and he's standing there without a shirt on. It looks you just almost want to see Leia saying, could you put on a cowl or something? It feels exactly like that.
And I feel like that it was just a little funny nod. They have done that so many times in the comics. A funny little thing that happened in the, like, prequels, let's say. Eto put it in the comics and just have a little nod and a joke to it.
Yeah.
It feels weird.
It was fun more than anything, so thought we'd bring it up. All right. So let's move on to our main topic. Last week's poll surprised us, as only a small percentage of the Twitter followers are opposed to the redemption of Ben Solo. Kyle Larson, which... I think is a great Star Wars writer, a great science fiction writer, by the way. Kyle Larson of StarWarsNewsNet.com has a really well thought article on what's going on with the son of Han and Leia. And we're going to use that as a springboard for our deep dive into the question, is Ben Solo redeemable?
Rebellions are built on hope.
If you live long enough, you see the same eyes in different people.
I find your lack of faith disturbing.
All right, so let's break this up. I didn't do the whole conducting the orchestra thing. I was thinking about the topic. Right, yeah,
man, sorry about that.
So anyway, one of the things that I liked about the way Kyle Larson wrote these series of articles on Star Wars News Net, which, by the way, if you want to look those up, we're going to have them in the show notes afterwards. But the topic title is, I've got it up here right now, Editorial Speculation, The Lost Prince of Alderaan, The Fall and Redemption of Ben Solo. It's a two-part article on Star Wars News Net. .com, which is a great website. If you aren't following on there, you should be. Anyway, he breaks it down. And first thing he does is he sort of sets the table. He separates fact from fiction when it comes to what we do know and what we don't really know about Ben Solo. So what do we know, guys, about Ben Solo? What's actually canon fact about what's happened with Ben Solo? Go, Samuel.
He's the son of Han and Leia.
Okay, what else?
He trained under Luke.
Okay.
We don't know for how long, however. And we know that he was turned to the dark side by Snoke.
And right.
And that's...
How long has his resistance been instated?
Oh, well, if we follow the Bloodlines connection, we're looking at 5 to 6 years.
I feel like they told how long Ben was...
But Ben was training in Bloodlines, which, by the way, it's a great book. If you haven't read Bloodlines yet, it's one of the best of the new canon books. Mm-hmm. You need to check it out. But anyway, Bloodlines is, I think, plays heavily into Ben Solo's storyline.
Oh, yeah.
Because we're about 5 to 6 years, I think, before the events of The Force Awakens. Leia is a leading senator in the Republic. There is no resistance. The First Order is at the beginning of that novel. The First Order is unknown to them. They have no idea that this organization even exists. And Ben Solo is off training with Luke Skywalker at this point. So something happens in that novel. In the novel, the galaxy finds out that Darth Vader is the father of Princess Leia. And the father of Luke Skywalker, and therefore Anakin, where'd that come from? Freudian there. Ben Solo finds out by circumstance, rather than from his parents, that his grandfather is not just this great rebel, this great Republic Jedi, Anakin Skywalker, but he's actually Darth Vader and all that. And that's what we know. That's all we really know about this.
Kyle Larson summed it up really well in the article. He said, imagine you had been told all your life that your grandfather was a great World War II veteran pilot, right?
Right.
And then you find out that he was actually a Nazi who killed his fellow pilots and did atrocities throughout the war.
Yeah. That would screw with you a little bit.
Yeah. And not only learning that about your grandfather, but learning that your parents had lied to you all your life about that.
Yeah. And
that
Luke and the Jedi thing. Yeah. And all of that. So I think that that's an element of Kylo Ren and his backstory, as we have him right now, that we forget about sometimes.
Yeah, it's overlooked, yeah.
So what else? Is there anything else that we know about Kylo Ren? Because I don't think of
it. I think that's really about it, other than what's in the movies.
Okay. So we don't. So what do we know about like other characters with this? Snoke. Do we know anything? I think it's infamous that we don't have any backstory.
Yes.
On right. Snoke. But we do know from The Force Awakens, which we got to watch last night, which was awesome again.
It was 3D too.
Yeah, it was 3D. It was awesome. Is when Han and Leia are having their first real conversation, their only real conversation about Ben on Dakar. Is that the name of the planet?
I think it's Dakar. Yeah.
Han is taking responsibility for what happened to Ben, kind of feeling like it's his fault. And Leia makes it clear, no, it's Snoke.
Yeah.
It's Snoke that did this. Snoke manipulated him. So I think it's important to note that Han and Leia have a full understanding of who Snoke's backstory is. I think that the galaxy knows who Snoke's backstory is.
Yeah. I noticed that was a weird element that I that just didn't quite sit right with me. A lot of people know who this Snoke guy is, but to us, he's just some weird, vague leader of the First Order. So how do Han and Leia and Luke and Poe and all them know about Snoke?
Right. Exactly.
So there's something there that we're not getting.
Exactly. And then we know from The Last Jedi, I guess we should also, you know, reference this because this is facts, this is canon, that we know from The Last Jedi, is that Ben is going down this dark path. And that's when Luke is sensing this. He's struggling with this. He knows this is going on. Mm-hmm. He goes into to Ben's hut and uses the Force to, like, search his mind. Ben Solo's mind, which, by the way, I was watching last night, and we see Kylo Ren do that with Poe and with Rey mm-hmm. in this movie. Have we ever seen that happen in any other canon source in the history of Star Wars, where someone's using the Force to search through someone's mind, like what we experience in The Force Awakens?
I can't think of something off the top of my head. I feel like there may be something somewhere, but I just can't think of any specific.
Do you remember anything like that?
No.
The only thing I could think of was when we were listening to Dark Disciple. You know, you've got Quinlan Voss, who can touch an item, and he senses the history of that item. And then you have Yoda searching through Quinlan Voss's mind at one point in that.
He touched his hand or something like that.
That's right, he did. He touched him. And
he sensed the feelings. That's right.
That's interesting. Okay. But I don't know. So we've got Luke doing that. Of course, Luke senses there's some unbelievably terrifying darkness. He reacts emotionally like Luke does throughout the original trilogy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He reacts emotionally and he ignites his lightsaber, realizes immediately he can't do it. Very consistent with Luke's character in the original trilogy. It's that throwing down the lightsaber moment in Return of the Jedi. I'm not going to kill my father. He like realizes it according to The Last Jedi canon. He realizes he can't strike down his nephew. But that's when Ben Solo wakes up and he sees his mentor, who's lied to him about his grandfather. Mm-hmm. He's probably lied to him about other things, is the situation. Standing over him with a lightsaber, and he ignites his, and he loses it with that. So I think that that's an important element as well. This betrayal element that Kylo Ren seems to have felt throughout canon Star Wars information, storyline, is a big part of who Kylo Ren is today. It's almost like he latches on to the only thing that he can latch on to, which is Darth Vader. Hmm. I don't know why he latches on to Darth Vader. I think that that's a Snoke element. That's what goes back to what Han and Leia are talking about in The Force Awakens. Snoke is using Darth Vader to manipulate them. Okay, so this is all we really know canon-wise. We don't know how Snoke manipulates him. We don't know who Snoke is. We just know that Ben Solo feels lied to and betrayed by his parents, by his uncle and mentor, and then he feels threatened by his uncle and mentor. And so now he goes completely dark side at this point. So that's where we're at. So I guess the question then is, if this is who Kylo Ren is now, can Kylo Ren be redeemed? I'm going to let you guys take it. What do you think about the fact that Kylo Ren is where he's at right now? You know, if we think about Resistance, he's destroyed a complete village of people that we know of from Resistance. He does that at the beginning of The Force Awakens. Mm-hmm. He kills his own father in The Force Awakens, which, by the way, the novelization, for all of you that, like, take this clip of Kylo Ren and Han Solo on Starkiller Base and you try to make it to where Han Solo was igniting the lightsaber himself, it's very clear from the novelization that it's not the case. The novelization makes it clear that Kylo Ren is the one that kills Han Solo on that. So don't go down that path. He kills his father. He's destroyed villages. He's an evil guy. He's just as evil as you can get at this point. Is Ben Solo still there, and is he redeemable? Go for it.
No. First of all, I don't think he can be redeemed. He's way too evil. And second of all, I don't want him to be redeemed. After reading the Star Wars News Net articles that you sent me, Dad. I enjoy them, and they're really good articles, but I feel like the way that he put that he would be redeemed felt way too much like it would be episode 6. And I don't want that to be ending the Skywalker saga. I want it to be a totally different story where everything's resolved and everything's happy. Yes, episode 6 did turn out to be happy in the end. I just don't want... The whole theory was that Leia would sacrifice herself with
Kylo. Okay, so this is the theory that we read in the Star Wars Newsnet article. Okay.
That Rey and Kylo would have had this long, big fight, and Kylo was on the verge of death, and then Leia would just go down with him, and then they would both be gone, and they would both be living in the forest. And
so this results in Leia's death as well, so that's...
Yes. Yeah, they basically just both become one with the Force, but and he described it as not Leia killing Ben... Leia killing Kylo and taking Kylo out. I mean, I don't know exactly. It's weird.
Like a mercy killing type thing? Like, in order to keep him from continuing to go down the dark side?
Sort of. Yeah. Hmm. It's weird.
I don't know how they do that, though. I don't really enjoy that theory. I mean, it's a great theory and all. But I don't feel like they would go down that path. I don't feel like, everybody looks at Leia to be a really good person.
Well, Leia's awesome. I mean, she's like the purest you can get.
Yes. And so for her to kill Kylo and not her son, I feel like that would be kind of betraying her character. And then the movie ends and then that's everybody's happy with that.
Yeah, I don't know if people would be happy with Leia doing that. Yeah. So.
And if the fan base wasn't separated already, I feel like that would make it a little bit more. So,
And I feel like that's, I mean, just logistically it's difficult to do because, you know, they've got a limited amount of scenes to work with. So I don't think they go down that route if they're going to redeem Kylo.
Yeah, I think logistically what you mean by that is they've only got so many clips of Leia
right
in the can that they can use. I don't think they have any clips of her sacrificing her life for Kylo Ren.
Yeah, no. So, I don't know. It's just, it's really, really tough.
So what are some other ways if we were to assume that Kylo Ren, or Ben Solo, excuse me, you know, let's separate the two, kind of like you do Anakin and Vader.
Right.
Ben Solo, let's say he still exists. No one is ever truly gone, like Luke says. When in the context of Leia saying Ben Solo's gone, Luke says no one's ever truly gone. Thinking back about Vader and Anakin and Luke and Return of the Jedi and all of that, is it possible that Ben Solo could be redeemed and how could that happen? Okay, not necessarily going down the Kyle Larson or the Larson article, but just in general.
No.
You don't think he can be redeemed at all?
No. He's done too much. I don't know, but then again, Vader's done some pretty bad stuff.
He killed younglings as like the first thing he did.
Yeah.
As Vader.
But he didn't become supreme leader, and his only goal was to rid the galaxy of every living being.
Who was the... I don't have any idea where you're coming from. Kylo's goal is not to rid the galaxy of everything.
It's to rule the galaxy.
It's to rule the galaxy.
Exactly.
Vader was gonna... One second, he's asking Padme to join him and they'll rule the galaxy together. The next second, he's force choking her. So, I mean, it's the same... It's almost that replay of the scene in Snoke's throne room between Kylo and Rey is almost a replay of that Padme moment on Mustafar. So, I mean, what do you think, guys? What's the possible ways that Ben Solo could be redeemed?
I don't think they redeem him in at all. I don't think they redeem him. I feel like they've done that with Darth Vader and they've done that with Sith. I feel like they leave him how he is. I feel like they make it not so happy of an ending that everybody's happy, everybody's not Sith, Supreme Leader's gone, the Empire and the First Order are gone, everybody's happy. And
we have a victory celebration all over.
Yeah. I don't want that. I want there to still be a little bit of conflict in the galaxy, but that conflict can be resolved.
I think that if they're going to redeem Ben,
they need to make it easier for us to sympathize with him in the next movie. Build that story up throughout the movie. Because right now it's a little difficult. Because he's killed his father in cold blood. There's no way I can sympathize with him. I mean, yeah, I guess if you think about the fact that he was lied to all his life about Vader. His uncle almost killed him. I mean, that's pretty messed up. And I understand how that would, that'd be pretty traumatizing. But I still can't sympathize with him. It's like, I don't want him redeemed yet. Mm. I think that if they're going to redeem him, they're going to have to do some serious work in the beginning of episode 9 to make it easier for us to sympathize with him.
And I think that Rian Johnson sort of led us down this possible path in the first act of The Last Jedi. So when we watched The Last Jedi, it felt like he was going through all of the different YouTube theories and leading us down that path. A Reylo theory, a redemption of Ben Solo theory, all of this kind of stuff. And then everything got flipped upside down when Rey rejects Kylo's offer in the throne room. Now, I've already gone on record and stated that if the balance of the Force is where they're going, and if they are going down a Reylo path with that, it's actually Rey that has to extend the offer for Kylo to come back to the light, not Rey to go to the dark. For redemption to take, or for this balance to be taken this way, and for Reylo to happen with this. But I feel like maybe they've said, okay, this is what we all thought was going to happen. None of that is going to happen anymore. It's all, it's like they're moving away from that, and we're going to go down this path of where they could have merged in Snoke's throne room, and now things could potentially go in completely different directions where Rey and Kylo are no longer connected in any way. Mm-hmm. I just don't know how the balance of the Force fits into that. That's the struggle that I have with
that. Well, I mean, if you think about it, the Force is pretty balanced right now.
But explain. What do you mean?
Well, there's that we know of. It seems that there's one powerful dark side user and one powerful light side user. There's no in between there. Snoke's dead. Luke's dead. Leia doesn't really count because she's not a Force user.
Yeah, she is. She uses the Force.
Not in the way that Kylo or Rey uses it. I don't think she really subscribes to either side. I think she just used it once or twice because it helped her out of a tough spot in a way. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So to me, it seems like the Force is in a pretty good balance. So, I don't know, maybe that's just me. Maybe they just go their separate ways, but then again, the First Order is still ruling the galaxy, yeah. And Rey doesn't like that. I don't know. Again, I don't want to be in JJ's shoes.
Okay.
What do you think?
As far as one potential outcome storyline that could take place that results in the redemption of Ben Solo. I've kind of gone on, I've mentioned this on Twitter. I don't think I've mentioned it a lot on the podcast. I have this image in my head of Rey with this sort of this root of understanding that of sympathy for, and even empathy even, for Ben Solo that we saw in the first act of The Last Jedi. And I feel like, what if we see her understand what's happened with Ben more so in episode 9 to where she continues to sympathize for him and understand where he's coming from and ends up somehow giving her life to redeem Ben Solo? So the episode 9, so in the first trilogy or the prequel trilogy, let's go there, is Padme is sacrificed by the darkness of Darth Vader, right? She gives her life in mourning. It's a big joke, I know. She dies because she's sad, but her heart breaks, and she dies because of the evil of Darth Vader, of Anakin, turning to Darth Vader.
Right.
And that's what begins this whole next storyline. Then you have the original trilogy, Luke's love and trust in Vader redeems Vader, brings Anakin back, and Anakin dies at the end of that. So you've got these two different scenarios happening, but the theme is kind of there still.
Yeah.
Okay. You get to the end of the sequel trilogy, and now Rey gives her life to save, instead of dying because of the evil, Rey gives her life to save Ben Solo. And then Ben has to continue to live on with guilt and with the judgment of who he is and all of this. And it's not a happy ending, but he's still alive. He comes back from the dark, but he's dealing. Maybe we have this guilt and this storyline of this overwhelming guilt and regret that lives on with Ben Solo.
I feel like that would totally derail him being any sort of light side. I think that would just make him more dark. The guilt and the shame of him being who he was and how he can never go back from being that one person. Mm. So he...
Well, what if he spends the next, you know, 50 years of his life or whatever trying to make up for the evil of Kylo Ren? Maybe... And I'm going down, you know, now I'm going down to crazy paths and all that kind of stuff. But what if he's the one that reestablishes the Jedi Order?
I thought you didn't want
that. I know, that's what I'm saying. I don't really want that to happen, but I don't want it with Rey. I don't want happy ending at the end, Rey wins, Rey establishes the Jedi Order. It feels too much like they're just taking the end of Return of the Jedi and the entire EU before Disney bought Lucasfilm, and they're just moving it to the end of Episode 9 and starting it all over again. Yeah. But what if Kylo is redeemed, Ben Solo is redeemed by the sacrifice of Rey, and then he, as his like life's purpose, is to rebuild the Jedi Order in a new way, built on love and hope and things like that. And he's the one that's rebuilding the Jedi Order. What do you guys think about that idea?
I mean, I don't want a Jedi Order. I feel like it makes it that exclusive club sort of feel, where you've got to be this specific kind of person to be a Force user. When I feel like Ryan was trying to point out the fact that anyone can be a Force user. And so I think putting a label on it like Jedi specifies it too much. I don't know if that's the right word, but you know what I mean. It makes it too exclusive to a certain group of people.
Right.
I feel like if you're able to do good and that if you're doing good by using the Force, then that's fine. We don't need to label it as a Jedi. You know what I mean?
Interesting. Okay. I do want to mention, you know, Patrick Covey has been interacting with us throughout the entire show, and I've been interacting him on our chat with this. But earlier, he brought up an idea around Snoke and Ben, or Kylo Ren, that it's not directly related to our topic, but since he spent so much time putting this theory out, or this idea out, I thought we could tie it into our topic discussion about Kylo Ren and Ben Solo. He says, let me know your thoughts on this if you have time, and I told him we would. So I had a dream last night about Snoke that I could just leave it there and say, dude, what are you doing dreaming about that guy? But anyway, so I had a dream last night about Snoke and his legacy moving forward. Do you think the older Imperial Remnant members of the First Order will be butting heads against Kylo Ren because he is a younger and more reckless leader? I got this vibe from Captain Kennedy at the beginning of The Last Jedi that he was there to be a superior military leader. But it was only serving Snoke's purposes. You know who Captain Kennedy is, right? He's the one of the dreadnought.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
As we know from Kennedy's bio, he was a former Imperial before he became a hardened First Order officer. Will these people rally with Hux to form a coup against Ren and his knights? Let's answer this question for Patrick.
We did see, like, I was literally thinking about this last night during The Force Awakens. We do see that General Hux, like, oh, he's young, and though he's, like, the right hand, and I'm older, and I've been in here longer, and I should be the right hand of Snoke.
Yeah,
and so I feel like that really could happen.
I like that idea. I mean,
that's how he was going to be redeemed.
It feels fresh.
So explain to me what you mean by that.
He's going to see that the First Order is not all that he thought it was.
Okay.
I think it's more of a the enemy of my enemy is my friend sort of thing. He'll sort of just reluctantly join the resistance along with
Partner with the resistance,
right,
against the First Order.
You know, the enemy of my enemy is my friend.
So you have like Kylo Ren and the Knights of Ren partnering with the resistance against the First Order in Episode 9. That's a possibility in your mind.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, that would be bizarre.
It'd be totally unique.
Oh yeah, it would never have happened before.
It's like the Sith and the Jedi coming together to fight.
Bring balance, and there's a Skywalker saga.
I mean, it would sort of, in a way, bring balance.
It could be the beginning of Reylo.
Maybe. No. But I like the idea. Yeah. It's exciting and fresh. I like it.
Okay. So Patrick is responding to our comments on this general topic of Kylo Ren's redemption, Ben Solo's redemption. He says, I prefer Ben Solo and Rey starting a new balanced group in the middle. Maybe tied in with the Bendu from Rebels.
Mm, yeah.
That's an interesting idea. It kind of goes along with what you were just talking about.
I don't think we need Kylo to be in the light or Rey to be in the dark. I think they both need to compromise a little bit and meet in the middle.
Okay, so final statement. Yes or no, is Bendemption going to happen in Episode 9? BB Nate.
After the theory that I just talked about, I feel like it should.
Okay, interesting. Samuel the Hutt.
Yeah.
Now you guys want Bendemption.
With this sounds cool.
Does sound interesting. Thank you for participating, Patrick.
Yes, right?
Thank you. You got them thinking differently.
Thank you for your crazy dreams as well.
Yeah,
exactly. And please maybe cut the spicy foods before bed so you don't dream about Snoke anymore. That's a little creepy. Okay. anything else you guys want to talk about?
Anything else?
Yeah. John Williams is creating new music for Galaxy's Edge, and the attraction names have been revealed.
Yeah, it was a great video that came out last weekend. Yeah. We were driving across California and Arizona when it happened, and I couldn't watch it because I was driving a big 26-foot truck with a car trailer on the back of it. That kind was, like, frustrating. But anyway, once I finally got to watch it, it was pretty awesome. So
yeah, I agree.
And MakingStarWars.net has released exclusive photos of the Mandalorian skiff from the live-action Disney Plus Star Wars streaming series.
Yeah, there's a Mandalorian skiff on that.
I haven't seen it.
I know, you'll have to look it up. Go to MakingStarWars.net and you will.
Huh?
It's awesome. Like they're pretty careful about not spoiling it on Twitter, like that, and actually putting the picture on Twitter, just talking about it and then linking to it so you can go smart. If you want. Yeah, they're pretty cool. And then Star Wars announced a whole legion of authors coming to Celebration Chicago, and we reached out to several of them, and we have our first interview for our podcast at Star Wars Celebration. We are going to be podcasting daily, multiple times potentially, but at least once a day. We're going to be having roundtable discussions with Star Wars Commonwealth Podcast Network guests, hosts. We're going to have a show with just Patreon supporters where we talk about things. I think we'll do our Episode 9 show just with our, after the Episode 9 panel.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
We're going to do our Episode 9 show just with our Patreon supporters. So let them get a chance to talk about that, anyone that want to be on the show. And then we've got at least one of these authors, which I'm really excited about. He's a perfect fit for us. I don't want to talk about it yet. We'll tease that more as we get closer, but I'm reaching out to a bunch of others, and hopefully we'll get those on there. So that's pretty cool.
Cool.
So, all right, so let's talk about next week's podcast. I do that every single week. This week's podcast poll of the week, if Ben Solo, we're talking about the redemption of Ben Solo, Bendemption, right? If Ben Solo is redeemed, who will be the one to bring him back? We have Rey, Luke, Leia, or other comment below. So we'll see where we go with that. All right. Thanks for listening to Tatooine Sons, a Star Wars podcast. That's a great podcast. I've heard people really like it.
Yeah,
family friendly, a lot of fun. Got some really smart kids on it. Not so smart dad. But anyway. And if you like this, then go, that little subscribe section on iTunes. It's awesome because when you subscribe, then you get our updates every time we put up a new episode. You get it in your feed. You know it. You won't ever miss an episode. It's the same thing if you're on any of the other podcast services, Spreaker, Spotify, SoundCloud, iHeartRadio, Podbean, Google Podcast, all of those. We're on there. Subscribe. That way you never miss an episode with us. Please take some time if you have it. If you enjoyed this, if you like family-friendly Star Wars discussion, please give us a rating and a review on the podcast service of your choice. We always check the iTunes ones because the rest of them is just harder to find, and iTunes is the granddaddy of them all. It's the Starkiller base of all of the podcast services. So we always check that one. We'll read it word for word online on our next show if you tweet or if you review us on that. And make sure you tune in next week. Next week is the big one, the granddaddy, 50th anniversary or 50th episode, 1 year anniversary, live broadcast at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific. We're going to have appearances from Patreon supporters, a lot of other podcasters, a lot of other content creators, some people you are really familiar with, guys from Star Wars Underworld, MakingStarWarsNet, .net, CantoCast, Steel Wars, a bunch of different podcasters are going to be commenting on that, making appearances. We want you to hear that episode. And we've got really exciting announcements, new things about Patreon, new podcasts, podcasts getting ready to come in the next year, and ways you can be a part of things like, I'm just going to tease this right now. I wasn't sure that I was going to do this, but I'm going to go ahead and just mention
it. My tricks don't work on me. Only money.
I'm just going to mention it right now. For those that do become Patreon supporters, we've got a little Christmas gift in the mail that's coming to you in the next few weeks. So if you're even at a dollar supporter on Patreon, within the next week, you're going to get a special gift from us. So if you haven't decided, if you're waiting, you're going to get like all of the stuff that we talk about on Patreon plus an extra gift. And all our Patreon supporters are getting an extra gift. You guys have seen it. What do you guys think about the gift?
It's great.
It's awesome.
It's so much fun. I mean, it's not a really big deal, but I mean, it's cool for us. So we're excited about it. And we're going to be doing things like a sticker of the month club. At one of our levels, we're going to be doing a t-shirt of the month club at one of our levels. So you can be a part of this and get some really cool stuff from it. So make sure you tune in next week. It's going to be an extra long episode. We're going to make sure we want you guys chatting with us and all that kind of stuff. So that is next week. Anything else you guys want to share?
May the force be with you.
May the force be with you.
May the force be with you.
This party's over.
I like that Wookiee.
Don't get technical with me.
Join, please.